You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Also, if it's severe enough, such as people that are going off and copying and selling, you know, pirated DVDs, that can be potential criminal liability. So there's copyright law can really cause some serious problems. Another right and law that comes into podcasting is publicity rights. So if you're using somebody's image or their voice or their likeness and you're using it commercially, so you're making money off of it, you could violate somebody's publicity rights. So if you know you're using a famous person's voice to advertise your podcast, you could be potentially violating their publicity rights. So in state specific, so you have to look at what state law is implicated, which, you know, most of you are in Georgia, so Georgia law will apply, but if somebody's, the problem with digital media, obviously, is that it can be accessed all over the world, so you could have liability in every state. And then in California, for example, this is their state law, if you knowingly use a person's name, or voice, likeness, or photograph, you can, and for the purpose of advertising or selling or commercial use, without the person's consent, you have some automatic liability. So that's one other area we want to.
Amanda, yep. Question about that. That was talking about a person, but what about places around town, describing the church steeple, and a specific one, recording church bells and attributing it to where it's coming from? But
I think that, I mean, it's not,
is that,
I can't think of how that
blindness, publicity?
Well, because it's not a person. It's not that the, not that, you know, unless, I mean, there's some architecture that
tour maybe,
right.
I'm making money off the town,
right.
You know, trying to.
There's only like certain. You have to look at what would be protected for certain. Like certain towns have a trademark in their name, so if you're calling your podcast like the St. Augustine, you know, podcast, and St. Augustine does have their name trademarked, you could get in trouble. If you have sometimes architecture can be copyright protected. So it's potentially you could get in trouble there, but not publicity.
I think what an obvious bad idea, like if you did a tour of the Krispy Kreme factory thing and you used as your cover art for the podcast the picture of their Hot Donuts Now sign, that would probably
right.
be infringement of their identity.
Yeah, because that would be, it would be a trademark. Because they have they probably have that slogan trademark, they have their logo trademark. So that would, yeah, that would be.
My defense would be you should write me a check for advertising for you.
You'll lose that $100.
$1. And it's not only music that could get you in trouble. It's in an interview, there's a couple different, although you as the podcaster and the interviewer, you have a right in how you arrange the interview, but then the person that you've interviewed has a right in their verbatim responses. So there's maybe an implied consent that, you know, by virtue of giving an interview, you know, you're kind of giving your consent for them to use it. But there's also the publicity right. So if you say, you know, I got an interview with Amy Ray, I'm using it to advertise my podcast. There's an argument that Amy Ray could say you're violating the publicity right if you haven't, you know, got your consent. There's, you know, hopefully you can rely on the implied consent, but you always, I think there's one lesson, you want to get everything in writing.
Not only celebrities have the publicity right.
Because if you're going to use it for commercial gain, it's probably more likely that you're going to be using a famous person under it, but there's actually just using anybody's image, and so say if you know there's a really attractive person that is in a class room or something, you're trying to advertise a university. They're not famous, but you're using their image to advertise your school. So that's actually but you see it come up more with famous people that obviously will sue. But whenever you're taking images and like if you have people in the background, you're probably okay. But if you're using like one person in particular, and if there was a recent case against Yahoo where they took somebody's image, I don't know if it was somebody that uploaded one of the users, and they were using it to advertise like Yahoo Mail, she sued into one.
Well, she probably sued as a privacy lawsuit, right?
Privacy is one of the issues, but she also had the publicity right that would be affected as well. So you want to be real conscious of what you've got.
Quick question, if you're conducting an interview with, let's say, somebody famous, semi-famous, whomever, if you have some sort of waiver on the tape, say at first you say, do you give me permission to broadcast this material that we're getting ready to create here with you? Would you be protected on that? So you just get a little disclaimer from them at the beginning of your interview or at the end?
Would that be okay? Would you
have to sort of publicly document that I get your permission to use this for publicity purposes?
Because you have to make sure that, because you will be using it to advertise your show.
Right.
And even though it might be, I mean, why get an interview with a famous person if you're not going to use it to advertise your show? But, you know, it's just to be sure. And to, you know, if you're using it all over the place and maybe they thought you were only going to advertise it one spot, you know, you just want to make sure that you have as broad consent as possible.
Sorry, boilerplate?
There's boilerplate out there, you know. Just do a Google search, you know, publicity release or copyright release or something. Just find some language that basically gives, you know, you give me all right, you know, all permission to, you know, think of every use you could do, copy, distribute, use for publicity. Just want to make it as broad as possible.
If you look at
a couple I can send you.
If you look at the podcast 411 website, did a recent interview with a lawyer. I believe they came up. They actually made a website to get online interview permissions for podcasts.
Yeah.
I forgot the actual. I'd say podcastpermissions.com or something like that. Okay. I don't know. Look at Rob's site, podcast411.com. Mm-hmm. He'll have a link to a site where they actually do online interview clearances.
That would be very good. Can never be too careful. There's also a strange little law in California. I haven't heard about this anywhere else besides California, but if you take someone's identity, it could be a tort, a violation of law. And this is a famous case where Bette Midler refused to perform for a Ford Motor commercial, and they just found a Bette Midler impersonator. And they used what sounded like Bette Midler, and they didn't really think it was, and she actually won. She won in the Ninth Circuit, and basically, if you're imitating like the distinctive voice of a known singer, so somebody that actually would have a property interest in their voice to sell your products or services, you can actually get in trouble. So.
Cowboys won a case.
Yeah.
So no more rich little podcasting.
Yeah, there's parody. I mean, there's like if you're making some fun of somebody's voice, you know, and it's understood that it's a joke, and you know, it's fine, it's fair use, but. You know, if you're basically making money and selling your products or services on making
if you're
it sound,
purporting that it is the actual
right,
person. Okay, but if it's obvious satire, then it's
right. Do you make a parody? You can hide behind parody really easily?
Sometimes, yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's...
Did they try to...
That's a
parody.
I don't think they had a good argument because it wasn't obvious that it was a joke. Was
make sure your Bette Midler impersonator is a man.
Yeah, exactly. Invisible, because they just had her voice. They didn't have a person. So there's no way for the viewer to know.
Confusing the audience potentially.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, and then this is, I guess, some of it, what I want to talk a little bit more in detail, because we're out of time, but the playing music is extremely complicated. There are a lot of different rights that are implicated in playing music on podcasts. That's why, you know, I guess as of last year, two of the top 50 podcasts were music-based. And, you know, I think the problem is that copyright law doesn't know how to treat podcasts. Because is it like iTunes, where you are able to kind of download, you're copying the music by downloading the podcast and putting it into MP3 file. You're distributing it by making it available to, you know, people to download. But there's a lot of argument that it's the broadcast. It's similar to radio. So there's three potential rights that could be implicated and, you know, three potential consents, licenses that you'll need. If you look at just a song, there are two copyrights that exist in a song. There's the lyrics and the notes, so it's like the actual composition. That's musical work. And then there's the sound recording, so how it actually sounds. Give you an example, make this a little bit easier. So you have, say, Diana Krall did her version of Duke Ellington's composition, Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me. So Duke Ellington wrote the words. He wrote the notes. So he, likely as publisher, most writers assign the rights to a publisher. own the musical work, so they own the underlying song. Same thing with like Dolly Parton's version of I Will Always Love You. Then the Diana Krall, or likely her record label, because most artists assign the rights to the record label, own the way it sounds, that particular version. If you wanted to play that on your podcast, you need consent from both parties, the publisher and the record label. And you know, just to get the, you know, the master use license or blanket use license for a record label, you have to go to the record label. And there's four major ones. They're really probably not going to want to talk to just the average podcasting individual. I mean, they usually just do big deals, and there's not a lot of money.
Podcasting
account
executive.
Yeah, go knock on their door. You know, it's
not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But you know, it's. But the problem is that the more power you guys get, the more of a target you become too. So I mean, that's kind of there's some benefits in staying low key right now.
That's what I was going to ask. Would you even want to try to approach them? Because then suddenly you're on their radar.
You guys are on their radar. It's just they're kind of seeing if you're making a lot of money off of it yet. You know, and I think right now they're more focused on shutting down the you know, file sharing and that area. But you know, once I think podcasting really takes off, I think they'll be looking.
I know there's some streaming sites that actually pay like a fee and mm-hmm. provides Shield because they've negotiated their own deals with the,
right.
with the labels. I'm wondering if there's any podcasting type thing.
Not yet. That's the problem with podcasting is an internet streaming. There are some,
yeah.
you know, that are trying to say, we'll just pay the same royalties as what the internet streamers are paying. And those royalties just came out recently, and they're pretty severe,
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
expensive.
A lot of streamers are talking about how the new royalty structure is going to shut them down.
Yeah, definitely.
It's actually a legal thing. There's actually a law that says that streamers have permission to do this
yep.
by paying this, you know,
mm-hmm.
this thing.
And you can sign a petition at radioparadise.com
yeah.
to bring the royalty
yeah,
rates down to a reasonable fee.
Yeah, because the problem is, I mean, there's specific reasons why the internet streamers fall into that exception, because you can't download it and put it on your MP3 player. That's where podcasting, you know, doesn't fall into that exception, and so that's why potentially, like, the record companies may want a lot more money out of podcasters, because, you know, you're making perfect copies of their songs.
I'm sure they just lowball. They don't want money.
I think I saw, I don't know if this was put out by the RIAA, but or it's just kind of a guidelines proposed, but I saw it somewhere discussed where a kind of guideline that said, if you have a music-based podcast and you don't want to attain the copyright to play a song,
mm-hmm.
if you talk over the first 10 or 15 seconds and or the last 10 or 15 seconds, or you crossed overlay two songs such that basically you're kind of destroying the you know
integrity
of the song
yeah.
from the very first note to the very last note, such that, you know, you're still getting the benefit of playing the song and being able to talk about it because that's what your podcast is about,
mm-hmm.
but yet you're kind of destroying it from a, hey, I'm going to rip this chunk out of it and sell it, you know, or give it away, that they kind of consider that a little differently or even give you kind of blanket use of the material. Have you heard about that?
Well, I mean, it sounds like that would be fair use, but you know, that's the problem with them.
But then
like,
they're playing
the
whole song, though, right?
Yeah.
They're playing the whole song,
yeah,
but they're talking over it.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know,
right.
I understand that. I'm just...
Right.
But yeah, they're playing
well,
the whole song.
Well, the thing is, like, copyright laws always have fair use, but they're trying to take it away.
Can you...
So they're... I mean, that's... If you're using an excerpt and you're using a little bit and there's commentary, you know, there's argument that that's you know, that's fair
there
use.
There is no blanket permission like that. Adam
right.
Curry has gotten cease and desist letters
right.
for playing mashups.
Yep,
definitely. And if mashups aren't, yeah, you know, if you're using 30 seconds of a song in somebody else's, you know, completely remixed
yeah.
compilation isn't
right.
kosher, then just talking over the first 15 seconds certainly would.
And the problem with our legal system is that you can sue for anything.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They can sue you just because they want to. I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean they're right.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean
right.
they'll win, but
yeah,
it still means you have to hire a lawyer and answer. So
I got a lot of money, a lot of lawyers.
Yeah.
Can you go a little bit more detail about the fair use in terms of, like, is there, you know, a good rule of thumb in terms of how long you can play a snip and if you're not making a nickel off of it
and things like that?
Yeah, I love.
Yeah, I mean, It's very fact specific. I mean, that's the problem with fair use. There's standards. You know, if you're making if you're making money off of it, I mean, if you want to come
out. I was only going to bring up the point about PodSafe Music.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
A lot of artists, especially independent artists, have given blanket permission for podcasters to play, or some labels, Magnitude, Iota. A lot of places negotiate blanket permission for certain bands, mostly less well-known ones.
Right.
But there are plenty of folks out there who have given permission, and they want podcasters to play their music. A large number of music podcasts out there just don't play any of the big record labels.
Right.
They play a lot of the lesser-known music instead. PodSafe Music Network, it's at music.podshow.com. Yeah, they even have some really big bands on there.
Mm-hmm.
I played a Twisted Sister song on my podcast at one point because they were on the PodSafe Music Network. Their Christmas album was on there. So that was great. Yeah, I did "O Come All You Faithful." It's the best. Twisted Sister's cover of that is the best version of that song I've ever heard. If you look out there, there is plenty of music that you have permission to play.
Right.
It's just probably not the latest Justin Timberlake album.
Yeah.
Right. But you are using just a small clip, of a major song.
What about a retroactive thing? Like, I basically always used local bands that were unsigned, and I'd just send them an email on the MySpace, be like, can I play your song? And be like, yes, great, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, I use a song on a podcast, and then one day this band gets signed by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And then they redo that song that I used on their major
mm-hmm.
album.
Mm-hmm.
Would Sony then be able to go back and say, you need to take that podcast down?
Because typically if they get signed, they're probably going to assign the copyright. Like, if it's a big song, it was a good song, they probably would assign their rights to the record label.
Mm-hmm.
But are you talking about playing it once they're signed to the record label?
No,
you're talking about past.
Let's say I made the podcast
mm-hmm.
before they got signed. Like,
right.
They're just a local band. They had no
right.
record label. And then they got discovered.
Right.
And then they redid the song on the major
mm-hmm.
album. Then they would basically sign it over to Sony,
right.
forgetting that they sent me an email saying
right.
it's okay, and now Sony owns the song and I have to take
right.
the show down.
You would probably be covered at the time. The problem is when after the record label owns a song and people are still making copies of it. Because only the owner has the right to make copies. So once people are still downloading your podcast.
But that's first rights, isn't it? If he got permission first, then he has first rights.
He doesn't own the song.
No, but he has permission.
He has permission to use it.
The permission
that
can't be removed
right.
retroactively.
Right, no, it can't. But if he's using it in the future and he plays it again, he could get into trouble. But also, if the subsequent copies, that's the problem with it. They are very upset about digital uses because you're making perfect copies. So they're trying to prevent, people making feature copies. But I think, you would be protected from that consent. But that's, definitely, I think that save all those
emails.
Keep a file.
Would it just be less expensive to approach BMI or ASCII for license, maybe sort of the individual, the cut companies?
Right, and that's, I'll get to this in a little bit. BMI and ASCAP and CSAC all do basically grant licenses for podcasting. But that's for the broadcasting. Like, it's like what radios and TV stations, when they get permission to play a song over the air, they get a BMI or ASCAP or CSAC license. But the thing is there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether podcasting is broadcasting, because it's more akin to iTunes, where you're downloading and you're listening to it later. It's not like a live delivery, like I'm playing a podcast, you can hear it over the radio, or you can see it on TV. So if you look at kind of the literal application of the law, it's not quite certain that podcasting is broadcast, and so it's more akin, just because even though you are playing and kind of making it available like a radio show, you still have the copying. You need permission to get the copying. You need that the owner of the sound recording, the owner of the works. So even if you got the BMI and the CSAC and the ASCAP licenses, you still need the license. You still need permission from the record label. You still need permission from the publisher. So this is the Harry Fox agency, because you're making a copy, you're distributing the words and lyrics. So that's why playing music is it could be very, very expensive for a podcaster if you're playing like a famous song, and because you have to potentially get those three different licenses. And I think there's a lot of doubt right now that it's really broadcast, But it's not internet streaming either, so that kind of scheme doesn't apply. So.
You know how much this costs?
Oh, the different licenses?
Uh-huh. The three licenses to get.
Well, it's hard to say how much the record labels do. I mean, they could charge you a lot. That's an unknown. The Harry Fox agencies, you know, blanket licenses that cost anywhere from $600 to $800 a year. The BMI, CSAC, they are also range of the $400 to $800 a year. So yeah, I mean that's for the independent podcaster. That's
I know the mechanical rights. If you want to do the cover of somebody's song,
right,
and you want to distribute a cover, that's like, I think you can get blanket permission for that just by sending them a letter saying you're going to do it.
Yep.
But it's like 8 cents a song. Eight cents a copy of the song. So if you have 1,000 people subscribe to it, that's 1,000 times 8 cents.
Right, and that's through the Harry Fox agency. That's the publishing.
Yeah.
That's the publisher.
So basically, you know, if you don't have permission to do it for free from the band, you probably can't afford to do it because, yeah, podcasts generally don't have the kinds of revenue streams that can do this.
We don't.
Amanda, before we have a breakaway here, do I have your permission to use your intellectual property here on there?
Yeah.
And everybody else, do I have your permission?
No. One PBR.
Can I get a hell no?
Burn my face off, please.
I'm going to scoot through this DVD license.
Put my face on his face.
Make me thinner.
Okay. Some of this might not be as applicable, but I guess in terms of podcasting is spreading, businesses are starting to use podcasts, but you still have the copyright implications because you need to make sure every time you use something in your podcast, you own it or you have permission to use it from anywhere. Copyright protection for if you're using it. I recommend that all of you get a serial, you can register like your whole series of podcasts with the U.S. Copyright Office, which means that if anybody rips you off, you have those statutory damages. So just make it a habit to get your material protected.
Do that directly?
Oh, yeah, it's really easy. You can just go to
Which form do you use?
I guess you would do sound recording because it would be a. Mm-hmm. It's.
You
the form,
like a series, so like
yeah, they have.
Year
you can,
yeah.
I'm not sure if it's under the sound recording one, but there's a serial registration. Just ask the copyright office because you can get a TV series or something copyrighted. That way, you don't have to register.
You also Google on copyrighting magazines.
Amanda, mm-hmm. It seems like copyright law is really podcast unfriendly.
Very.
You know, it needs a lot of reform. I mean, Ron's listening and all the folks talking about.
Right.
Copyright only serving corporate interests seem to especially true in podcasting.
Right.
Because someone who's podcasting typically wouldn't have a lot of money doing it out of his basement or so, and how can anyone afford these kinds of
right, and that's why, I mean, that's what I'll hit on in a second. I mean, there really needs to be a change in the law that, you know, gives specific rights to podcasters, which, you know, given how much the entertainment industry controls the law recently, it's basically what needs to happen is podcasters need to organize into a strong trade association, similar to what the Recording Industry Association of America has. You know, you need to organize from the grassroots, you know, lobby your congressman.
Organize labor. Yeah.
Check out podcastguild.org. There's actually a movement happening right now that I'm involved with to make some of that happen.
Definitely.
It's happening very slowly,
mm-hmm.
but there are people actively interested in.
Good, because that's the only way it's going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, you have to get your voice heard because otherwise, you've seen what's happened, like in terms of like the file sharing, and you know, they'll take these things to trial, and they'll put Napster out of business initially. You know, it's if there's money to be made, they want to make sure they're making all the money. So you know, but then the Creative Commons hits on this a lot, that it's so important to protect the freedom of the internet. Freedom of the individual to put their material out, to, you know, create the art that you guys are creating and get your voice heard. So, I mean, basically, you want to make sure that you're organized and actually protecting these rights, because right now the law is very unfavorable to you. Briefly, so really only hit mostly on copyright publicity. There's trademark law involved, we touched that a little bit, Krispy Kreme. There's also defamation, privacy, typical rights that would, you know, because in a way you guys are the press, so it's depending on what you're...
Until they throw us in jail.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you have these rights. Some of this is described at EFF. You know, we definitely need some changes. similar, maybe if we could get similar to internet streaming, but not the severe royalties available for podcasters, would just be an automatic royalty you guys could pay that wouldn't be too expensive. I highly recommend going to Creative Commons Podcasting Legal Guide. It touches on these topics in a much more detailed way, gets into the other areas of law too, and really, you know, it's not written for lawyers, and it's very understandable. If you want to, oh, I love that, the P, sorry, the C-O-P-Y, right, the government, that's where you go.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.